Yeah, so last week the word that we were talking about was... Brendan checking his notes. You don't have it? Huh? Abide. Yeah, we talked about the word abide last week. So with the John 15, we talked about how in order to bear fruit, we have to abide in Christ and He has to abide in us. So we need to be saved. That's how Christ abides in us. And then we need to spend time doing the things, doing the spiritual things, spending time with the Lord. That is how we abide in Him. So we looked at a bunch of definitions. We looked at how the word abide is used throughout the Bible. So, and then we started introduced the fruit of the Spirit. But this morning we're going to talk about the first one, which is love. So turn to Galatians chapter 5.
Charity.
Charity? You're good. Dylan, what page is that on?
1558.
Need some more Bibles over there?
Yeah.
I forgot one of the church Bibles is 1558. Okay, chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so we talked about last week how when we abide in Christ, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to kind of take a week or so on each one of these, and we're going to go through and talk about I think we mostly know what love and joy and peace, what those words mean, but we want to know what the Bible has to say about those words and how God uses those words. So I spent a lot of time yesterday looking up the word love, and I read every verse that it shows up in. There's 311 times that the word love shows up, and I read all of them. We're not going to read all of them today, but I'm going to give you guys all the stats and tell you where the first mentions are and the last mention and all that stuff. But before we do that, I want to read passages together. And then, because part of the reason that we're doing this study is so that you guys get opportunities to, read the passages yourself. And we're going to talk about, what you think based on these passages. What are some, trends that you're seeing? What are... how does God show? How does it keep showing up over and over again? Hopefully you'll notice some patterns as we're going through this. So try to pay attention to all these different verses that we're going to read and how God uses the word love and how there's good things that we can pull from that, like some characteristics that, I see how God used love here. Here's a way that I can apply that in my life. Or here's a way that God uses love in a negative context. We don't want to apply that in our life. So you can learn, both what to do and what not to do. So part of the reason we're doing this too is just studying your Bible is not like rocket science. It's not really it doesn't require that you be a theologian or that you've gone to Bible school or something to be able to study your Bible. It does take some time and it does take some effort. I don't know how many hours it took me to read through and write down. I've got, pages of handwritten notes about all the different times it shows up and how God uses it this way. And I was trying to categorize them all together. It takes time, but it's not like, all of you guys have phones or you have the internet. You can just search the word love and you can see all the times that it shows up in the Bible. And you can write those verses down. You can look them all up. Or, you can even read them on your phone or your computer or whatever. It's not hard to do that. But you can get a lot from that. I know what the word love means. You guys know what the word love means and the way that we use it. It's not a complicated word, but, it is important to know how God uses it. And that's where studying your Bible comes in. And so a lot of Bible study really is just, are you willing to put in a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to read the verses, write down some notes and, see how these things are connected. And so, it doesn't take a lot of skill, but if as we read through these, we'll kind of stop every so often. I'll ask you guys if you're noticing any trends. If you don't want to say anything, or you're I don't even know, this is my first time ever hearing this kind of stuff. Don't feel like you have to say anything, or don't feel embarrassed because you don't know what I'm asking for. There's not really a right or wrong answer. I want you guys to look at it with me. I've already done some of the study, so I have some things that I can add. But it's not always about whatever I want to add to it. I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. And so the other thing I want to point out before we really like get started too much is, it's important when you're reading the Bible, but especially when you're studying the Bible, that I'm not putting a twist on, or you're not putting a twist on what the Bible says, right? Anybody can take a word or a verse or a passage out of the context in which it was said and can twist it to mean something that it doesn't actually mean. And so one of the benefits of looking at all these different verses, 311 times where this word love shows up, again, we're not going to look at all of them, but one of the benefits of doing that is you can't really take that out of context. You're reading all of what God has to say about the word love, and then, you know, you're putting it into, like, okay, I see what he's saying here, I see how he uses it this way, okay, I see how this one and this one and this one and this one all are the same, and these are talking about love, you know, in a different way, and, you know, you can kind of start to put all those things together. So it's not like, we're not going to cherry pick, like, here's a verse about love, here's a verse about love, and now you guys know what love means based on what these two verses or these five verses that I think we should read about. So that's not what we're going to do. We come across the word love here as the first fruit of the Spirit. What? We come across the word love as the first fruit of the Spirit. And if we want to be fruitful spiritually, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit exist in our life, then we should know what the Bible says about those things. And so, don't feel like you have to have all the answers. Don't feel like whatever you are going to say is wrong. Most of you guys, we've not really done this a lot in this class, so, you know, most of you guys don't have experience just shouting out what you think a passage is talking about or how you think love might be being used in these verses. So, turn to 1 John chapter 4. Somebody tell me when you get on one of the church Bibles what page it's on. 1633. So, before we read 1 John chapter 4, one of my stats that I told you I would tell you about after we're done reading, just to give you some idea of why we're going to 1 John chapter 4. So I wrote down, these are my notes that I wrote yesterday of all the words, all the times that the word love shows up. So I wrote down each book of the Bible and what verses it shows up in that book, how many times it shows up in each book. So the book of 1 John only has 105 verses total. It's 5 chapters long. You could read the whole thing in 10 minutes. Huh? What?
I said 84 than half the verse.
No, not 84. Not quite that many. It shows up 33 times though in 23 different verses. So it's the most. It's the book that has the word love in it the most, and it's one of the smallest books in our Bible. And so, you know, when God like fills a verse or a chapter, a book that has 105 verses, when he puts the word love in there 33 times in 105 verses, and it's decently more than the second closest time. You know, this is a good book to read about if you want to find out about how the Bible uses the word love. And out of that, chapter 4 specifically has 12 different verses have the word love in them. And some of these verses have it more than once. So, chapter 4 is, you know, one of the key passages on love in the Bible and how God uses love. So, let's just start reading in chapter 4, verse 1. I'll start, and then, yeah, we'll go to Jalen, and then we'll go across this way, and then you, and you, and Jackson, and then across the back. If you're, like, are embarrassed to read out loud or something, just, you know, nudge the person next to you. It's okay if you don't read, but if you want to read, we're going to read it out loud. So, chapter 1, verse. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of the Spirit of God.
You want to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, not of God. If this is flesh, is not of God.
Antichrist.
Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in you. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth of them. We are of God, he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
All right, this is where it really starts with all the love words. Yep, keep your eyes peeled now, starting in verse 7, really.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God.
He that loveth not knoweth not knoweth
for his love. Okay, hold on 1 second. Isabel. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay, you could take those two verses. What do you guys see about the word love in those two verses? It does occur a lot. So when I was a kid, I think I told you guys this before, but there was a song we used to sing in church. It was literally these two verses, and we would sing it to a tune. So it's really hard for me to read the verse. It's literally just the words that I just read, but with a little bit of a tune. No. But when I read it, I have to force myself not to sing the words. Anyway, so I've had these verses in my head since I was, I don't know,
6 or 7, 10.
I was going to say 10, but maybe 6 or 7, I don't know. All right, so what do you guys see about it? What does it tell us about love? What? You didn't say anything helpful? What's the first thing you see? Beloved, let us... Love one another. Okay? Huh? Yeah. That is the great commandment. So, the Bible is telling us we should love one another. Okay? So, a lot of times when we think about love, we think about a girl or a boy. And that is part of it. There is that kind of love is talked about in the Bible. But the overwhelming number of times that the word love is mentioned about having this kind of love, loving one another, like in a brotherly love kind of sense, like I care about this person enough to, you know, tell them the gospel, enough to correct them, you know, my brother in Christ or my sister in Christ. When I see them doing things that don't line up with how they ought to be living their life, I love them enough to step in and say something to them and try to encourage them or help them. Okay. Then it says, for love is of God. Okay, what does that mean? Love is of God. What does that mean? Huh? God does love us. What? Okay. Ladies, anything? Love is of God. What do you guys think that means? This is going to be a long day of us just all looking at each other if no one's going to say anything except for Brendan. Yeah, that's a good way to pull from that. So, yeah, God, love is of God. We only know about love because God loved us first. There's a verse in Romans that says that. We're not going to look at it this morning, but God loves us. He showed us love. How did he show us love? John 3:16. Who knows that verse? Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, God showed us 2,000 years before any of us in this room were born, he showed us love. In the Old Testament, even before Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, he showed love to the nation of Israel. He said, hey guys, here's the laws that I want you to follow. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm going to have this tabernacle and I'm going to follow you around through the wilderness. And when you guys worship me and you come to me, and you right the wrongs that the sin that separates us from each other, and you bring these offerings, that's going to restore fellowship between us. And when you guys are doing the right thing, then I'm going to bless you in a mighty way. I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to do all these things. So God shows us love. He showed them in the Old Testament. He shows us in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, his son. So love is of God. We only know about love because God loved us first. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So it's from, love is from God. God also is love. And he's telling us, hey, if you want to be able to love in the way that I love, he that loveth not knoweth not God. You, lost people cannot love in the way that God loves. They can't do it. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. It's difficult to love people who are unlikable or unlovable, right? It's difficult to love those people. All of you guys can think of a person in your life, in your mind right now, that's like, I don't like that person. They're annoying. They drive me crazy. We always fight. They, you know, are obnoxious or whatever. Like, we can all think of unlovable people. Society is full of unlovable people. All of us are probably unlovable to somebody else. Like, there's other people that if I asked, they would probably think of your face or my face. Like, everybody's unlovable in some way, but God says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We ought to be able to love people even if we don't like them. Right? We ought to be able to, the way that God loves, think about how God loves us, and we'll look at this more as we get into some of these other verses, but the ways that God loves us, He loved us when we were sinners. He loves us even though a lot of us hate Him. Like, hopefully not people in this room, but there's people who hate God or that don't even think that God exists or don't think that Jesus Christ was the Son of God that came and died on the cross for our sins. Like, there's people that don't believe that at all and spit in the face of God, and He loves them still. Like, that's the kind of love that we're talking about. So love is from God. God is love. The only way that we can love like God is if we know God. If we have a relationship with God, He helps us to love in the way that He loves. All right, Isabel, sorry. Verse 9. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit.
So that word dwell, that's the same word as abide that we looked at all of last week. So it's a cross-reference to John chapter 15. If you write in your Bibles or underline things in your Bibles, John chapter 15, the word dwell right there is the same as the word abide that we looked at last week. Alright, sorry, Dylan. Verse 14.
And we have seen the new test of how the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in his world.
It's you, verse 18. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Okay, so a lot of the time when that word shows up in this passage, it's talking about how God loved us first and he sent his son to die for us, how that we ought to love others in the way that, in the example that God set for us. And then that passage there in 17 and 18, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Love and fear, you shouldn't have fear of the world if we love people. So a lot of times we use that verse in the context of sharing the gospel with somebody. It's very scary, or creates fear in us, to walk up to somebody and try to share the gospel with them. It creates fear. But perfect love, if we love the way that God loves people, we should be able to overcome that fear because we love that person and their soul more than we fear the rejection or the questions they might ask or whatever the thing is that we fear about that. We should love them more because we should love the way that God loves. That's why that whole first part of that passage that we read sets up, hey, God did this for us in the beginning so that we can have the love that He has. And when we have that kind of love, it gets rid of the fears that we have about doing the thing, like showing up and trying to talk to somebody about Jesus. That fear should be removed if we love like Jesus. And this is one of those things that when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, like I think intellectually, just based on this one chapter that we all read, and this, whatever we've talked about so far, I think we all kind of get, okay, yeah, I should love like Jesus loves. Okay, that's that. I understand conceptually that that's what I should be doing. But, like, I don't actually love like Jesus loves. I don't actually love everybody that I encounter. I don't actually love everybody enough that I encounter to overcome the fear of trying to talk to them about Jesus, right? Like, that's a, it's a process. It's not like you get saved and then instantly got the love that God has is now the love that we have. We still have the flesh. We still have to deal with, you know, our own anger issues or our own pride issues or our own fear issues or whatever. Like, we still have to process through those things, and we'll probably never get to the point, well, we never will get to the point until we're in heaven, that we love exactly like Jesus loves us. But these verses are like a challenge or a reminder or a an encouragement to us. They're like, hey, this is the way you should be progressing. If you've been saved for 10 years, and you still have people in your life that you absolutely hate, and don't even care if that person ever hears the gospel or not, that's a problem. Like, if you got saved a week ago, and you have somebody in your life that you can't stand and you hate them and you hope they never hear the gospel. Okay, you should be working through that. Like, that should be not something that, you know, a month from now that you still feel that same way. So it is a process. It takes time and it takes abiding in Christ daily, regularly, for days, weeks, months, years, in order to start developing this kind of love. So intellectually we can know it. Practically, how we live it out is not going to be like an instantaneous thing. Okay, it's going to take us some time. All right, so that particular chapter has the most mentions of the word love of any chapter. Okay, I wrote a lot of verses up here. We're not going to read every single one of these, but I just wrote the Gospels. Just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every single one of these, except for, I think there's three. Mark 12:33, so this one, Luke 10:27, this one right here, and then John 21 right here. So other than those three, every single one of these other ones is Jesus speaking. And those three are Jesus asks a question to someone, and then that person responds to Jesus. So the reason I, you know, chose these or wrote these down, the word love shows up a ton in the Gospels. That makes sense. Jesus, I mean, we just read God is love. So when Jesus comes to the earth, that's the one of the manifestations of God's love, is that He sent Jesus to the earth. So it would make sense that Jesus would talk a lot about love. So when you read through these verses and these passages, every single time Jesus is talking about love, with the exception of those three, and it's just somebody responding. So go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start at the beginning, and we'll just make it through probably a few of these. I want you guys to see if you can pick out some patterns as we read these. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43. I know some of you guys are still turning there. I'll read it while you turn. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Okay, what is it talking about? What does it tell us at the beginning of that passage? Yeah, love your neighbor. So it says, yeah, you've heard you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. OK, Okay, so he's not focusing specifically on loving your neighbor, although that will be a trend that you'll see here in a minute. He's talking about loving your enemies, blessing those people that curse you, praying for those people that despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you guys have ever prayed for somebody that you know hates your guts, or somebody that just made you feel like garbage, or somebody that just backstabbed you or said something to your face that was hurtful or whatever? Somebody that you just can't stand. When's the last time you prayed for that person? It's hard to pray for people that you don't like. Okay, I get it. I'm not saying I do that either. It's hard to pray for people that you don't like. It's hard to pray for people that, like, to your face just say, I don't like you. And they persecute you, like, mess with you, bully you, pick on you, whatever word you want to plug in there. That's hard to pray for people. But Jesus says, hey, it's great that you love people that love you. Guess what? Lost people can do that. Everybody loves people who love them, right? If your mom loves you, yeah, you love your mom, great. That, you should do that. That's natural to love people that love you. But love people that hate you, that's a different kind of love. All right, chapter 6, verse 5. So let me read that one. Huh? Matt, 6, 5. It's up on the board.
Without praise, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of them. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
What are we talking about here? Again, it's Jesus talking. He says, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. How are the hypocrites? If Jesus tells you don't be this way, what's this way? What's he telling us?
Don't be like people that say everything before God and not actually doing the work.
Yeah. Don't be like a hypocrite. These people, it says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Maybe you guys have been in a church, hopefully not this one, but maybe. Maybe you've been in a church and it's like, you know, somebody gets up and they just want to over-spiritualize their prayer, and they want everybody to think, man, this guy must pray a lot. Listen to all those words he's using, you know, and listen to all those fancy things he's saying. I don't even know what half those words mean. This guy must be an incredible, you know, man of God. And I'm not saying that, you know, don't judge people by their prayers, but Jesus is saying, hey, some of these hypocrites, they'll go out and they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, so that they can be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He's saying, don't try to do things for your own glory and your own praise. These guys are not praying, you know, fancy or praying some special way because they want God to get so much glory from their prayer. They're praying this way because they want to see, now I'm not saying this is the case for everybody. Jesus is saying there are people like this that want to be recognized. They want people to see them and think that they are something special, that they must be some fancy kind of man of God if they can, you know, pray and talk and act this way. All right, skip down to verse 24, same chapter. We talked about this on Wednesday. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, we talked about this on Wednesday about how we can't love our flesh and do all the things that it wants to do, and also say that we love the Spirit and want to do all the things that it wants to do. Those things are at odds with each other. You cannot love the flesh and love the Spirit and serve both of them. Eventually, it will be revealed one of those things that you love more. You love the things of the flesh more, or you love the things of the Spirit more. And the one that you love more, when push comes to shove, that's the one that you're going to do. So it's warning us, hey, be careful of trying to serve two masters, because the truth of the matter is you only love one of those masters the most. Okay, Matthew chapter, flip over to 19. Just a few pages. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, this is the trend I was telling you guys you're going to start seeing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How much do you guys love yourselves? That ain't true. We will go out of our way to make ourselves comfortable, to get the kind of food that we want, to have the kind of clothes we want to wear, to have the shoes that we want to have the right kind of phone or the right kind of whatever. We will go out of our way. We work hard for those things, or, you know, we beg our parents for those things, whatever the case may be for you, but like, we love ourselves. We want ourselves to have the best thing, right? If there's, you know, two pieces of pizza left, or two pieces of cake, or pie, or two pieces of whatever, and you get one of them, the other person gets one of them, you secretly want the bigger one for yourself, or the one that looks a little bit better than the other one for yourself. Right? We love ourselves a lot, more than everybody else. Even if we're struggling with, you know, self-worth and where you don't feel valuable and all those things, we still want the comforts that we want. Like, we still want to be comfortable. We still love ourselves more than other people. So it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Wish that your neighbor got the better thing. Wish that your neighbor got better than you. Love your neighbor the way that you love yourself. The way that you think highly about yourself. Do that. Love your neighbor that way. Chapter 22, verse 37. I'm going through these kind of fast because there's a ton of these verses. And we're definitely not going to hit all of them. But I just want you guys to see some of these things that show up. These patterns that, and the way that God uses it. 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Okay, a different kind of love. What is this one talking about? Yeah, how we ought to love God. So most of the ones we looked at so far, just because that's the order they've been coming up in, is loving others. Like, love your neighbor. Like, love people that hate you. Love your enemies. Those are one kind of love. And now he switches over and says, man, you guys ought to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, with all your soul, and then with all your mind. Love God with everything we got. Why should we do that? We read it in 1 John chapter 4. Why should we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Because He loved us first. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. He gave up the thing that was most valuable and precious to Him. He loved us as Himself. Right? Loving your neighbor as yourself. And now Jesus is saying, hey, this is how you should do it. You should love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because of what He's given to us. Because He loved us first. Because He's showing us the way that we ought to love. Man, we really just, like, it's the least that we can do. Right? The least we can do is just repay back, or try to repay back what He's given us. Chapter 22, verse 38 says, this is the first and great commandment. That's what Brendan said earlier. And then verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There it is again. So love God, that's the first one. And then the second one, it's like unto it, it's similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you can master loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it's going to be much easier to love your neighbor as yourself. All right, the last one in Matthew, and then we'll not read the rest of them. Chapter 24, verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. A lot of those are words. We don't talk about iniquity or abounding or waxing cold. But what do you guys think that stuff means? What's another word for iniquity? That's a little more common use. What?
Sin.
Okay, so replace iniquity, just for helping you understand what the verse is saying. And because sin shall abound. What is abound? Anybody know what the word abound means? Huh? Yeah, run rampant. Like abundance, I think the root word is abound. So, because there's a lot of sin going on, the love of many shall wax cold. What do you guys think that means? Wax cold.
Huh?
Yeah, maybe. What happens if you, have you guys ever boiled water for like pasta or something? And then you take it off the heat? If you let it sit there for a little while, what happens? It gets colder. It turns back to room temperature. Right? Over time, it will slowly get colder because you've taken the heat away that keeps it hot or makes it hotter. You've taken that away, so it starts to get colder. So because sin or iniquity shall abound, because it's everywhere, the love of many shall wax cold. Because there's no fire and no heat around, because it's we're surrounded by sin, the love of a lot of people just kind of, we turn away, right? You see it politically, culturally, you know, we get in our own groups of people that think like we think, that believe like we believe, that say the same things that we say, and we love those people, or their ideas, or their beliefs about the Word of God, but we kind of wax cold towards everybody else, right? There's a division right now in this country, perhaps in your schools, perhaps in your family, if you're, you know, one side's Democrat, one side's Republican, one side thinks we should do it this way, one side thinks we should do it that way, right? There's division. We wax cold against others. We kind of, a lot of, for the most part, have stopped loving people the way that we should, because we don't, the main thing is not the main thing anymore. God says, this should be the main thing, right? I love you so much that I sent my Son to die on the cross. And when He left, I gave you this, the Word of God, and I gave you the Holy Spirit. And because you have those things, man, you should love me, God, with all your heart, mind, and soul. And also, when you start doing that, you're going to love other people the way that you love yourselves. But it says because of sin and our own allowing those things to creep into our own hearts and our own minds, because we don't actively pray for our enemies, because we don't actively want to see other people saved, because, man, if you don't believe the same way as me, I don't even want to talk to you. Or if I do want to talk to you, it's just so I can debate and argue my point to try and win and beat you in an argument because I'm smarter than you are, or I've heard more good arguments than you know, and so that's the only reason I even want to talk to you. And we wax cold against other people around us. That's not what the love of God is talking about. And again, we don't have time to read every single one of these passages, but if you go through Mark, Luke, and John, and you just read these verses that talk about love, you're going to see the same thing repeated over and over again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be like the hypocrites who love to see themselves raised up and, you know, looked highly upon. Don't be like that. That shows up several different times in these passages. So, just a few stats before we wrap up. I thought it was kind of interesting that in the Old Testament, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's 15 books in the Old Testament out of 39. So almost half of it, or I guess it's a little more than a third, don't mention the word love at all in the book. It's Numbers, Ruth, which I would think, the book of Ruth, you guys know the story of Ruth. I would think the word love would show up in Ruth, either between Ruth and Naomi. If you were here last week when Blade preached, he talked about that. Like, the love that Ruth had for Naomi and wanting to leave her father and mother and her home to go with Naomi, or the love that she had for Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, doesn't show up at all in there. First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Esther, the book of Esther, doesn't have the word love in it. Again, it's a love story, but it doesn't have the word love in it. Job, Lamentations, Joel, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, and Malachi. Those words don't have the word love in, or those books don't have the word love in them. How many books do you guys think, out of 27 books in the New Testament, how many don't have the word love in it?
Four.
Did you guys both say four? Oh. It's two. It's the book of Acts and the book of 2 Peter. And the book of 2 Peter has the word loved in it, the past tense of love. So really, the book of Acts is the only book in the New Testament that doesn't have love, loveth, loved, loves. Doesn't have any of those words in it. I thought that was kind of interesting. The book of Acts, you know, where they're establishing the church and they're going around, they're preaching the gospel, they're planting churches, they're being persecuted. What's that?
Paul's?
Yeah, the life of Saul who turns into Paul, like all that stuff that happens in the book of Acts, but it doesn't mention the word love at all. I don't have a lot of, you know, spiritual ideas about why that is. I just thought it was kind of interesting that of all the books in the Bible, the only in the New Testament, only that one book doesn't mention it. Again, I said that 1 John has it the most times, 33 times. Song of Solomon, 26 times. The book of Psalms, 23 times. The book of John, 22. Deuteronomy, surprisingly, had it 16 times. That was the fifth most. And then the book of Proverbs also has it 16 times. So, just one last kind of point of summary. We're already several minutes over, so sorry about that. So 80 verses, 80 of the, there's 311 times that it shows up total in the Bible. 80 of those times, is talking about loving your neighbors. It talks about loving your friend or loving your enemy or loving your neighbor. All those I kind of grouped together 80 different times. 62 times is loving God. 45 times, God loving us. And then 40 times, love between a man and a woman. So, like, the book of Song of Solomon has, like, almost all 40 of those, most of those 40 there, and then, like, in Ephesians when it's talking about how husbands should love their wives. And but, yeah, so when the way we think of love, or the way, at least when I think of the word love, I think most of the time of this. I love my wife. I love my kids. Right? Like, I love, you know, the people that are around me with, like, a caring kind of love. Okay? But that's the fourth most common way. And there's a few other ways. There's some miscellaneous ways. There's actually the first mention, which we didn't look at, is Isaac is laying kind of on his deathbed, and he calls in Esau, his favorite son, and he's like, hey, I love that savory meat that you make for me. Go get your bow and go hunt me some meat and bring it back before I die. And that's the story where Jacob and his mom, Rebecca, they go in and they put the hair on his arm so he can go in and trick his dad and he can get the blessing from his dad. But the first mention is talking about, it's the only time that it's mentioned, about loving savory meat. Five times it's used as a servant loving his master. And then two times God's love toward Jesus. And then one time talks about women loving their children. So, loving our neighbor, that's like a quarter of the time we should love our neighbor. You know, 62 more times loving God. And then it gets to God's love towards us. And then it gets to a love, you know, of between a husband and a wife. So I thought it was kind of interesting, some stuff about love. This is not a fully comprehensive study, obviously. But you can kind of see the way that God uses love. So when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit and how we should, if we're walking in the Spirit, how we should exhibit God's love, we should exhibit it these ways. We should love our neighbor. We should love God. If we can do those two things, the rest of that's going to fall in line pretty easy. God already loves us, regardless of what we do. And then it's going to be easier for us to, you know, find somebody that God wants us to be with if we are loving the way that God loves. If we're looking for somebody else who loves the way that God loves, who loves their neighbor, like somebody else who's on the same mission as us, that's the kind of person we should try to get to fall in love with, right? But a lot of times we start with that kind of love and we back our way into the rest of it, and it causes a lot of problems when you don't find somebody else who loves God the way that you love God. You're doing things backwards.